This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he gives us a description of what these perilous times. If you don't read it out of here, you could read it on your iPad or in the newspaper. There has never been a time when a president has not been in agreement with Israel. We're looking at that time now. When the Bible says that all nations will come against Israel, it's a very scary time, but it's also a very exciting time because ready or not, here he comes. This is no time to play church. This is a time to be church. This is a time to put everything you have on the line because Jesus could come right now. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. What do you think? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Yes. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent or immoral, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. When I drive downtown Milwaukee or Racine or any big city, you see these great cathedrals, these churches that people built during the Depression. And now when you drive through cities, you see arenas and you see stadiums because people love pleasure more than they love God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 7, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of truth. Well, let's have a Bible study, but let's not come to any kind of conclusion in the Bible study. Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus is speaking to those who are in the church, and it's surprising what he says. The words are in red. Matthew 7 and 21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So the prerequisite is to follow the word of God, not a religion, not a pastor, not, you know, some religious scholar. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We're talking about churchgoers. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, gotta do it, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And then if you go to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, Isaiah 45, starting in verse number 1, it says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of the king, to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect. I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed, or giving you a specific name, though thou hast not known me. All these things God has given them and protected them, and they never knew him. Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning, that it would affect exactly what you would have us to hear and change us by your presence and by your word. We'll give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many people saw the miracles of Jesus through the years that he was ministering here on earth, but where were they at his crucifixion? Too many people are coming for the loaves and the fishes. I want the healing. I want the prosperity. But I really want to keep you at an arm's length. I really don't want to get that close to you. I want to pray to you, but I don't necessarily want to hear the answer because it may not go well with whatever else I am doing. Can you imagine receiving a letter from God saying, I have anointed you and taken you by the hand. I have subdued your enemies, opened doors that no man can shut. I will break down gates and bars of iron that restrain you. Or in other words, I have delivered you from habits. I have helped you out of sicknesses. I have given you hidden treasures of secret places. I have blessed you more than other people and given you a surname, a special name that I personally call. And then verse 5, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded or strengthened you, though thou hast not known me. What a frightening thing to be in church all your life or hear all of the Bible studies and be faithful, but really never know God. And that's a real possibility in today's life. Could it be that we could experience all of the blessings, all of the protection and the anointing of God and yet not really know God? God desperately wants a relationship with each and every one of us. He has not created religions. He's created relationships. He wants to involve himself in us on a daily basis. It's not just tag in at church and then go on and do whatever you like to do. Not just having information about God, not just another little sermon about who is Jesus and all of his great attributes, or how do I get more blessings from God? How is it, God? Well, what do you want me to do in order to get the stuff that I need? But how can I know him, really know him for myself? Amen. Of course, Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, on the day you seek me with all your heart, he's not just something that occupies our time for a little portion of time every week, but he wants a full-time relationship, and then we get full-time benefits. Amen. Psalms 4 and 3 says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Isn't that an incredible thing that God will hear us when we call? God doesn't want anything else on this earth but us. His people, his jewel, the apple of his eye, his bride. He has set apart the godly for himself, and God is looking for the same commitment from us. He laid down his life for us, and he's expecting us to lay down our life for him. Anything less than that just doesn't reverence and respect him for what he has done for us on Easter. This message will give you information about God. But it takes each of us, as Paul said in Acts 17 and 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Somebody has to seek after God. God, here I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Lots of information on Mars Hill. All of the Epicureans, all of the intellect came there in order to bring forth something new. I stood on Mars Hill years ago where Paul was, and he said to the unknown God, I declare unto you, his name is Jesus. You ignorantly worship someone that you don't know, but don't ignorantly worship your God. Our responsibility to the relationship is to feel after, search, and seek God that we may know him, not just have more information about him. Amen. There are people who have heads full of information, have memorized scripture, but they have no idea who he is. They do not have anything intimate going. When I was a boy, I was very involved in playing baseball. I loved baseball. I ate, slept, and every chance I had a mitt and a ball in my hand. And because I loved it, I got good at it. And there's a park just down the road here, Franksville Park, and they have lights, the same lights that when I was a boy, as 10 years old, I played on the All-Star team under the lights. It was just the most highlighted time of my entire childhood. I didn't hit many home runs, but I got on base a lot. My coach told me something that was very important to my success. He said, are you ready? If you're going to steal second base, you must leave first base. Incredible. It has changed my life. Aren't you glad you came this morning, this deep Greek and amazing Hebrew? In order to leave first and try to get to second requires an act of risk. You see, I know what it's like to get tagged out. I know what it's like to get caught in a rundown between first and second. But the last time I checked, you can't get home if you don't run to second base. And what good is it if you get on base, but you never get home? What good is it if you partially become a Christian, but something trips you up later because I don't want to go any further than this. I've never gotten out in a pew in my life. I've never walked down to this altar except when I got the Holy Ghost. I never brought in a message in tongues and interpret. I know God has been dealing with me, but I feel so safe just where I am. What if somebody doesn't understand? What if somebody thinks I'm a fanatic? What if somebody thinks that, well, who is he? Who is she? We need to run this race, not sit this race. Hallelujah. Church, I don't want to die on first. Too many people hang on to that first experience with God. I know, 20 years ago, I spoke in tongues for a little while. They told me I was saved, and here I am. I am faithful, but I'm never experiencing anything but standing on a base. And I'm afraid to let go of the pew. I'm afraid to bring in a message. I'm afraid to sing a special. I'm afraid to teach a Bible study. I'm afraid to witness to somebody at work because I may not know all of the scripture that I really need. So what good are you? Well, I'm standing on first. Who's on first? Who's on second? Security of what we know is nice and safe, but those that venture out and take a risk, well, those are the people who have the most fun. It's a whole lot more fun crossing home plate than it is just hitting first base. It really is. Because you're scoring for the team. You know, I really believe that those 11 apostles had said in their heart, I should have stepped out of the boat. Peter's got the testimony. Peter's got the experience. But you know, when I could, he said, come. And I just, well, I was a little shy. And you know, it's just the way my personality is. I don't get real involved. Well, when you get in love, you get a little emotional. You get a little involved. Hallelujah. Arriving requires leaving the unknown. Abraham had to go to a place that he didn't know he was called to, but he just took one or two steps forward. Amen. Lori Ledger, 2 years ago, got the Holy Ghost when we were still down in the basement. She works on Sunday mornings. It's hard for her to get here, but she kept saying, and I kept saying, come on up a little. She said, I'm taking baby steps. Taking baby steps. But you know, she was taking steps. She was taking steps, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone who has experienced a deeper measure of God has had to take the risk of going into uncharted territories. There was a time when you left first base and walked up to the altar floor the very first time. I remember right in the middle of the service, at about three services of my first experience with a Pentecostal church, I was in the middle of the row, in the middle of the church, and I knew nobody was standing, but I knew I had to get to the altar. I stepped on other people's feet. It didn't matter. I didn't care what I looked like. What I knew is I had to get off first base. I had to get to a place where God was going to bless me. I was at a funeral a week ago for my wife's uncle, 93 years old, good run. But it was in a denominational church, and there was smoke and holy water and all of that in it, and it just... there was something within me that rose up and saying, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. And I want truth more than I want anything else, but truth has to be obeyed and demonstrated. Or one day he'll say, depart from me. You experienced, but depart from me. I never knew you. Hallelujah. There was a time when you had to leave first base, a time when you left second base and danced in the spirit. Don't just watch the game. Hold on to everything that God gives you. We must be lost in being led by the Spirit of God rather than our flesh and what it demands and what it says is right. If you've never gone beyond that, you really haven't experienced God, because God has so much more for each and every one of us. This little thing with the palms this morning, it takes us out of our little comfort zone. But you know what? That might lead to something else that would give you even more freedom. Romans 8 and 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, you get the inheritance. You get all of my attention because you're led by the Spirit of God rather than, the pastor says I have to. Or they are the ones who really know God. If you want to know God, we must be bold. This is deep. No, pastor, I can live any way I want and still get close to God. Really? Really? You know, that's the theme of today. Live the way you want and then just check in with God once a week or so. You know, and you don't even need a church. All you have to do is know him. Well, show me. Amen. Give me names. Amen. Let me tell you what godliness is. That term gets thrown around a lot of times, but no one ever really defines it. Godliness is simply responding to God's revealing to us, with his in the Word or whether it's in the Spirit, by trust, obedience, worship, and submission to God when you don't even understand why God's saying what he's saying you should do. I don't know how my sins are completely wiped away in the waters of baptism, but I believe it. I don't know how God can heal a cancer, but I see it. I experience it. I believe it. He doesn't have to explain to us everything. Amen. Two things must rule our walk with God: the revealing of God's Word and the intimacy of God's Spirit. God loves those who worship in spirit and in truth. So you need both. It's not either or, but it's both. All word and no spirit makes you an intellectual popsicle. All spirit and no government by the word makes people fanatics who look like they can't control themselves. There is control. There's order in the house of God. The word is there in order to give us parameters and order to our life, but the Spirit is there to give us liberty. But you have to have both in order to be the complete person that God really wants us to be. Amen. We are governed by the word to experience the Spirit. And there are those who say, well, the gifts of the Spirit are not in operation in the church anymore. You can't have healings, you can't have miracles, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. They're just not. But the Word says you can. So through the Word, we walk into the Spirit. You see, it gives us that liberty. I don't care about you. If your church doesn't have it, that's up to you. But we have the authority by the Word, and then we can experience it by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you need a healing, which church are you going to? When you need deliverance, where are you going to go? Yeah, I'd rather go to the real thing. I'd like to go to the one that has parameters with the authority of the government of God, so in the Spirit I can have all of what God has for me. If what we believe and preach doesn't carry us into an experience with God, then it has just made us religious. See, so when we read the book, we need to observe the book and apply it to our lives so we can walk into an experience with God. There are too many people who are reading it as a book report, and well, that happened back then, but it can't happen. No, God's saying, here's your liberty. If you want to take a step, thank God we do this because it's in the book. It's not just something we do in order to, you know, have a different kind of service. He said, you ought to wash each other's feet. There are churches who are saying, well, that's so archaic. That's, you know, that doesn't make people comfortable. It's not supposed to make you comfortable. It's supposed to bless you, you see. And so we do these things. And when we do those things, we enter into a different dimension of God. Hallelujah. Anybody out there?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If we believe and preach, then we're going to experience. And then it just makes us the people that God wants to dwell among. Void of really knowing God in the Spirit, it's because you really don't go to the Word. Jesus said in John 5 and 39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So it's not just the Word of God, it's the experience of Jesus Christ. I love Acts 2 and 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I'm not going to worship Acts 2 and 38. I'm going to worship the God who has given us the door in order to have the intimacy with our God. And he will not come to me that ye might have life. That's what Jesus is saying. You go to the Scripture, you adore it, you go to church services, you love it, but you got to get to Jesus. Somebody's got to get to Jesus this morning, you see. You see, the Word is supposed to give us direction and a desire to provoke us to have the experience that we need to have with God. Now, we can line up with the Word of God, but then we think it's good enough, and we don't push into an experience with God. And eventually we become cold and dry and apathetic, and now it's harder to get to church. People can't just sit under the preaching of the Word week after week without a desire to get closer to God and have intimate relationship with God. I need to feel your presence every time I walk into the house of God. Listen, we all have been touched by another world and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave us the utterance. It's a miraculous thing. It's a life-changing experience that we have. But that ought to motivate us for more of God. Lord, more please. You know, you're not afraid to do that at Thanksgiving. More please, you know. You may have some Easter dinners next week. More please. Reveal more of me. You know, that's what God wants. Touch me more, God. Touch me in the middle of the night, God. Fill me more with that which has already touched me. The Holy Ghost is just the introduction to what God has for us. Just an introduction.
Amen.
Look, this is what I can do for you.
Yes, amen.
You know, now just go stand in a corner and we'll get back to you in about 20 years when I call my people home. No. He hasn't done that. It's not some place you set up a condo and stay there. You know, that is the place right over there. I got the Holy Ghost. Okay? Don't set up a condo there. A memorial, put a great big stone up. That's where that happened once in my lifetime. No, we should have an experience over there and over there and in the back of the church and in the pew. Hallelujah. If you stay on first base, you'll never get home. Lots of information about God and one or two experiences really isn't what God wants. Amen. You know, we have a responsibility to bring information to you, but then my responsibility has ended and now your responsibility begins because the information isn't enough. You have to have the experience. God said in our scripture text, in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, I gave you these experiences of miracles, hands on God, though thou hast not known me. And I can go outside of this building and I can tell people, you know, God healed my sister of cancer who's sitting back there. God has healed Sister Bear of cancer. God has done a marvelous work in so many lives in this church. Brother Fitch raised from the dead, incredible miracles. But, you know, that's not all of what it is. What they need to hear is God wants to touch you. It's not just about what we've experienced in the past. The Holy Ghost experience and miraculous things in our service are given to instill a portion of himself that would create a desire for more of him, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people that are around you. I mean, how many people can walk into this world on the job or wherever you are and say, you know what, there's a guy that was dead in our church and God raised him up. Did you know that somebody, Sister Berg, had stage 4 cancer and God healed her completely? How many people can say that even though they go to church? Hallelujah. But, you know, I don't know if I leave first base, I might be tagged out. Could be. Maybe that's a good experience too. Maybe that first Bible study that you taught, it was a complete flop. That's great. That means the odds that the next one is going to be awesome. You know? I remember my third base coach yelling at me. I can still see him. You know, third base coach, if you don't know, they stand right next to third base in a coach's box, and they are supposed to control all of the runners on base. And what he'd say is, keep your eyes on me. When I tell you to run, you run. I'll watch the ball. You watch me. And I think that will work in the church. You know what? Keep your eyes on me. When I tell you to run, you run. Don't worry about where the ball is. Don't worry about where the enemy is. Don't worry about your job security. Don't worry about your health. Keep your eyes on me. You just keep coming. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just sitting on first base waiting for Jesus to come back. No, he's waiting for somebody to come around home. Amen. You know? I hate to tell you this, but he is somewhere around second or third or home waiting for us to make a move. God wants everyone to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. There are too many churches that have died on first. You know, I still every once in a while listen to a ball game, and it's been years since I went to watch a ball game, but one of the most depressing things is when the bases are loaded and somebody flies out, you know, and they all walk off the base into the dugout, you know. I want somebody rounding home plate in every service. We got a baptism this morning. Somebody's rounding home plate. Hallelujah. Truth that is not experienced is no better than false doctrine. Do you know the problem that the Pharisees had? They never experienced what they said they believed. Oh, we love the Word of God, you know? But they never, it never dawned on them that maybe they should do what they have memorized and studied and counted all of the letters. We can't just declare it if we don't experience it on a regular basis. In fact, we won't want it if we don't declare it. And if we don't experience the supernatural, then we begin to declare that, well, it's no longer necessary in our church anymore. We just don't do that. And that's where Michael, the David's wife was. She was made barren. She never had children because, well, she just didn't believe in all of that getting excited about God, you know. I was one of those, you know, just, I'm fine, just leave me alone. You know what? I'm so glad for you. I'm so glad you have a relationship with God. But just leave me alone, you know, until I heard the Word of God? No. Until He touched me. And then the Spirit gave life to the Word. You see, I got to find out about a God who just touched me. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel chapter 6. Starting in verse number 20, of course, the Ark of the Covenant is coming in. It was lost, and now it's coming back home. And it represents the Spirit of God. And, of course, David gets all excited. He stops every six paces and makes an offering, and there's a great presence of God. Verse 20 says, "Then David turned to bless his household, and Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself.'" Don't you understand what people are saying about you? That you're a radical? That you get beside yourself with this little box that's coming in? And David said unto Michael, "It was before the Lord." You see, our worship isn't for anybody else. It's just for our God. "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord. Therefore, I will play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor," because they understand what's going on here. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." I don't want to be made spiritually barren because, well, I just don't do those things, you know, because I just don't think they're necessary. They are necessary. The Spirit of God energizes and makes us alive. Amen. What if Michal had the same experience her husband had? She would never have criticized him, but probably danced right next to him. You know, if we're one flesh, then we should share the same experience, husbands and wives together up here at the altar and feeling the same way about God. It's time that we take what we know about Him to drive us into the secret place of the Most High, that we could find that place in God that we don't know anything about. There is still a level, I don't care how long you've been in the church, there's still a level that you have not obtained yet. There's a realm of the Spirit that you have not entered into. You have not gone to the third heaven like Paul did, but he desired a greater movement, a greater experience with God. Because I am convinced by the word of God that he has invited us to that place. Don't live at your conversion level when there is so much more beyond your conversion. God's not saying we are ungodly or unsaved at any level once we've been baptized in Jesus' name, but I don't know, are you really going to continue? Are you going to be able to make your election sure if you're not energized by the Spirit of God? That can only happen when we become faithful to God and start worshiping him, not only in church, but everywhere we go. You see, God paid for the whole package. And part of the package is romance. He wants to be. He wants to be romanced. We can start to take him for granted. And we don't bring flowers anymore. And we don't bring candy. We don't push a plate aside. We don't show up at church when we don't have to show up at church. We don't get up in the middle of the night and walk into the living room and bend down at the couch and start talking to him. You can stay at the base of the mountain if you want, but I want to ascend. We sing about going up to the high places, but you have to leave first base in order to do that. As we increase our level of knowing God, we then have confidence to face anything in our lives. When you have been intimate with God, when you're feeling his touch, when you've been hearing his voice talk to you, and if something comes in your life that you're a little bit tentative about, you don't care about that at all. You know that you're in the will of God and none of these things can bother you. Fear is no longer a factor in your life. Our losses and our crosses will not defeat us. You see, when we read in the Bible where Daniel didn't fear the lion's den. Amen. Don't worry, King. I'll sleep here tonight. Maybe pull up one of those for a pillow. The Bible said that when the king came back, that Daniel said, "The angel of the Lord has come to shut the lion's mouth." And if you'll read it, "because of my innocency." Anybody here want some mouths shut? Amen. Maybe the best thing to do is shut yours. Amen. Instead of posting on whatever those things are. I think we should rename it Facebook to some other part of our body, you know, arm or shut the lion's mouth. Well, if the Lord delivers us out of the fiery furnace, fine. And if he doesn't, fine. Now, there are three guys that just didn't go to church as the tradition says. Those guys were involved in God on an intimate basis, and they knew that God. They just didn't hear about it. They just didn't read a book about him. They knew God. And if he wants to deliver me, well, that's fine. If not, well, that's okay. I'm thinking these men had a level of knowing God that some people don't ever obtain it. You know, the Bible says that the guys who threw them into this furnace that was made seven times hotter, the guys who threw them in died because they caught on fire. But when they came out, the Bible says that there wasn't a hair that was singed, and there wasn't even a smell of smoke. Our God can deliver us. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to glory in our accomplishments, but and as I read in Jeremiah 9 and 23, we need to glory in the presence of God, glory in him. There are people who study the Bible who have never lifted their hands to God. And the new convert who doesn't know three scriptures, bask in the presence of God. Because all they know is, get me to Jesus, get me to Jesus. It's better to meet the author than to memorize his book. Don't pride yourself on your accrued knowledge, but rather that I've been with Jesus. If you'll turn to Acts, the fourth chapter, I'm coming to an end. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." You know, God must have made a mistake in having Peter do the first message because he was unlearned and he was an ignorant man. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So the greatest attribute they had is they must have been spending time with Jesus. God didn't condemn getting a degree, but there have been many who have gotten degrees that are frozen. You know, they just have too much intelligence in order to be intimate with God. No longer looking for a move of God because of their intellect. You get a man who loves his wife or a woman who loves her husband. She doesn't need a manual. She doesn't go every year and take a test to see whether she should stay married. They know each other. They know each other's feelings and thoughts because they are with one another all the time. My wife can just look at me and see if there's something that bothers me. It wouldn't help to read the manual on her husband. She knows me from years of personal experience. You start to walk in the Spirit. You know when God's talking to you. You know when God's saying, go pray for that individual. You know when God's saying, you need to give. You know that because of years of experience and intimacy with God. We didn't stay at the same level we were at in 1968 when we were married. We've got some things that we've gone through. Some of you young people who are still on your honeymoon period, you don't know squat about what I'm saying right now. You're still at a performance level, a function level. You're still at the huggy, kissy, lovey level, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just wait a while. This is not an endurance race. This is an enjoyment journey, and you're supposed to be enjoying the relationship, even though you've been married for a few years. You should be enjoying the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you've been in the church for 40 years, because now you know some stuff, and God is taking you through some stuff. But it happens after you've been through things together. We may be a little beat up, but our marriage is still strong. Because our commitment, regardless, with us it was for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. But with God, the death part isn't in there. Because forever and ever, for eternity. Daniel 11:32 says, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." So you need to know him. If we increase our level of knowing God, we have the possibility and the potential of saying, now I know you, now I can bless you, and I'll fight against everybody that fights against you. I'll be your exceeding great reward, your great provider, your glorious shield. All of this is tied up at a level of knowing God. Last scripture, Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians 3 and verse 17, if the musicians would come. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So it's not gotten by knowledge, that you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now unto him, that's the one that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Go beyond. Not just by knowledge, but by experience. You know, most of you that fall in love, it's not because you got a history of the person that you've been attracted to. It's because of the experience that you've had with them. And we have to keep that experience even more so, you know, in these end times. Amen. God's coming back for somebody he loves. Amen. A bride. Amen. Who has made herself ready. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Next week, I just feel like I'm going to get off first base and I'm going to run and run and run. What about this morning? What about getting beyond? What about saying, you know what, I'm not going to the foyer. I'm going to the altar. The foyer's safe. The altar, what if somebody lays hands on me? Well, maybe the coach is saying, hey, that's what you need. Amen. This morning, Palm Sunday, now's the time to celebrate, give him all of the praise. Amen. And all of the glory. Amen. And this year, I just want to get closer and closer, because he can give us what beyond what we think or ask. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?